Yo, yo, yo. Welcome to another episode of D&K in the Lab. Got a special guest with me, Kinu Rochford out of Brooklyn, New York, that played at Fairleigh Dickinson. Kinu, what's good, my guy?
What's the word, my guy? How you doing, man? It's up here.
Chilling, man. Finally got you on the show. I know you've been busy and shit. What's the word? How's everything been going?
Everything is a bless, man. Alhamdulillah. Everything is a bless. I have no complaints, bro.
No complaints at all?
Yeah, you know, I want to be back over, but that's about it. That's the only complaint I got.
What's the situation with that right now, bro? What's going on with that?
I mean, as far I don't really have no representation as far as that right now. And, I had a deal in Portugal, but, you know, they wanted me to be fully vaccinated. So I don't, as far as that, I was looking into it. But I just felt like my caliber of player, I'm better than that.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't, at this point, I really don't want to settle. I feel like I did 10 years and I'm worth it, you know what I mean, bro?
Yeah, for sure. You've been in it for a minute, bro. Definitely worth it. And then, so you don't want to do the Johnson & Johnson, but you're down to do the Pfizer or the other one?
At this point right now, bro, it's like New York is just moving like martial law. I'm about to fill it, New York. So it's okay. Just like, but I got to go over there for something work, bro. I can't go over there for no $1,500 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I got a family, bro, and I got to make sure my family is well provided for, bro. So.
Yeah, no, that's a fact for sure, definitely. You definitely worth the big bucks, bro. You've been in it for way too fucking long. You killed too many veterans. You killed too many niggas, bro, to only get that amount. So you just got to kind of wait it out and then see what's going on with the market. I know the market is scary. It's COVID, bro. COVID's the reason why the market is looking like this right now, bro.
Yeah, so, you know, like I said, with and the power and the grace of God, whatever he got planned for me, right now I'm doing my little security. I ain't got no complaints, bro, you know.
Yeah, I peep the security on Instagram. It's good that you're doing that, bro. I applaud you, bro. Anyone that works an overnight job, I applaud them, bro, because that's like, I mean, I'd be up late too, but it's like, bro, I'd rather me. I worked a 9 to 5 from home or whatever. But I applaud you for working overnight shift, bro. Overnight shift is definitely, it's a beast. It's not easy.
Yeah, you know, but like you said, you know, it gives you a lot of time to think. It's when the world is quiet. You know what I mean? That's how I'm used to operating. Just from overseas, a couple hours ahead of us. So, you know.
Yeah.
I appreciate it, bro. Like I said, it's a lot. A lot of people lost a lot. So when I go out there now, it's more so for like, it stands for way more than what people understand. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I ain't gonna lie, last year I was trying to retire. Like,
mm-hmm.
Only thing that made me come out to play basketball again was, you know, us being on Instagram Live and competition and love for the sport. But, you know, as far as me, like, you know, I would probably like, just since I'm speaking to you, I'd probably say next summer is really gonna be my last summer as far as.
Wow.
The old chairman of the board. It's about time the chairman sit down.
Chairman of the board. New roster, man. So you're looking for one more job and then you're done?
As far as street ball, I'll tell you street ball, I probably next year is my last push.
Yeah, I know that. I know for like the street ball, but you're still looking for one more overseas gig before you're done.
Yeah, I would like to do one or two more years.
1 to 2 more years? Okay. So let's get right into it, bro. We know you've been overseas for a minute. I mean, we know you laid the groundwork out. Now, let's go all the way back. Let's go to the beginning for Kinu Rochford. How old are you when you first, like, picked up a ball?
Like four years old.
You'll say 4 years old?
Yeah.
Okay.
My pops used to have this comparison for me, my brother, and my sister, because we triplets. So he used to have a comparison for, like, basketball players with us. I always liked Shaq, and he always liked my brother for Kobe. I mean, so it's like the Black Mamba always been my brother. Like my brother always liked Kobe since we was born. So
definitely, that's awesome. Yeah, definitely. You and Shaq, I could definitely, obviously, chairman of the board, Shaq, killer on the board. So I mean, that's light. You feel me? That's an easy comparison. But so what was how was it for you? Like, did you play like elementary, middle school? Like, what did you play between like 4 years old to high school? Like those middle school years. Like, where did you play?
I didn't play nowhere. I played Wingate. Wingate Park. I ain't playing no AAU, none of that shit. I know this, none of that shit.
That is crazy. You ain't play. You ain't play at all in the younger days.
No, sir.
You didn't play. You didn't play at all in the younger days.
No, I played like one tournament, like Jackie Ralph.
Okay, but no leagues. You didn't play absolutely no leagues when you were younger.
I can never tell you what it's like to play in ISA. I can never tell you what it's like to play in Dean Park. I couldn't tell you what it's like to play in what's that park in Queens that everybody be. I got to meet Giannis at Lincoln Park. I never played none of those tournaments.
Wow. No, I like that. That makes it way more interesting. I'm learning because I didn't even know that. That's huge. So you didn't play at all during the younger days. So you went to James Madison, right?
I first started at Cobble Hill.
You so started there? Okay. So what did you – so you played off like a year there, 2 years? What happened?
I didn't make the team there at all. I wasn't on the team at Cobble Hill. Not at all, sir.
Wow. So you weren't there. So when did you transfer to James Madison?
Cobble Hill was one of the baddest schools in New York at the time. They were sending the letters to the crib telling us that we could transfer to any school except for, like, Bedford-Stuyvesant, Huddy, like those schools, you know. But I wanted to go to Boys and Girls of Lincoln. My mom was like, "Nah, you're going to Madison with your brother."
Mm-hmm.
So I went to Madison, and I loved it.
Yeah. What year did you transfer there, though? Sophomore year?
Probably junior year. The start of my junior year.
Okay. So you transferred there junior year. So you tried out and you made varsity.
No, I didn't try out junior year at all.
Okay. So you were just there for academics junior year.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So you didn't play organized basketball until your senior year of high school?
I played the half a season in the senior year, like the second half. The average, like 10-10-5. I didn't really play too much, though.
Wow. This is gonna be interesting for the you didn't play organized basketball until your senior year of high school? No.
Yeah, I played like 6 games.
This is a mystery to me. Jesus. So you played half your season in your senior year. You said you averaged what, 10-10?
Yeah, 10-10-5.
Okay. And then after that, so then did you went to after that you went to Globe Tech?
I went to Fulton Montgomery first.
You went to Fulton Montgomery first. Okay. So obviously only playing half a season. You didn't have any colleges like offering you, right?
No, not at all. I have none.
Wow. I mean, yeah, you only played half, and that was that was the only half you played senior year, so I can see that happening. But you said you went to Fulton Montgomery first, right?
Yeah.
That's a D1 JUCO?
That's like D3.
D3. Okay. So you went there you went there for 1 year. How'd that go?
I went there for 2 weeks. And then I got a little bit of trouble. I left after that. I ain't play at all up there.
Wow. Okay. So you went there, you got into trouble. Mm-hmm. And then you went to Tech.
No, I tried to go to TCR. I tried to go to TCR with RIP, the late, great Gary Sims.
Okay. Rest in peace.
Yeah, I went to try out, and Kev Jack, that's the goat of mine, he kicked me out of the gym. Asked me, who am I, who sent me here and kicked me out of the gym. I'm like,
okay.
Oh. And then the next day, I ended up going to Globe. I was a red shirt. I met this dude named Rommel. He went and shot a free throw towards ACL. So I moved up from a red shirt, and that was it. I played my junior year. I did okay. It would be a junior year for me in JUCO. It was my first year, freshman year. I played.
Mm-hmm.
And, second year, it was like, I knew. I'm like, oh, all right, I'm trying to get paid for this. I'm trying to go D1.
Exactly.
I had every D2 in the nation. I had every D2 in the nation coming out of Globe.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't settle for that. I mean, I wanted to be one. I got a call from my boy E's Jules, and he was asking me, like, yeah, bro, what you about to do? All right, bro, to be honest, I can't go D1, bro. I mean, I'll just get a job. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So I got a call from Greg Vitron. I mean, and it was funny, too. Like, that was a funny call. It wasn't a recruiting call that I was expecting. But he's like, yeah, I seen you up in Duncan. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, yeah, thank you for that. And he was like, yeah, so why don't you come on down and take a visit? You know what I mean? So that's how I ended up at Fairleigh Dickinson.
Okay.
Yeah, I was committed to, I met my first coach was Frank Martin. I was going to go to North, I was verbally committed to North Carolina Central.
Mm-hmm.
And they got suspended that year. Now the NCAA, so I decommitted to that. And then I was going to go to Cal State Fullerton. And it didn't fall through. So the only thing I had was Philly Dickinson.
Okay. Okay. That's an interesting story. So you're at Philly Dickinson.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about it. Tell me about those. You were there for 2 years, right?
Yeah.
Tell me about those 2 years, man. Tell me about, like, the best players you played against. Tell me about the coaches, the teammates. Just lay it out for us.
I had some of the best teammates in the world, man. Muhammad Lowe, Melquan Boldin, Lonnie Robinson Jr., Lonnie Hayes Jr., Dylan Moody, Sidney Sanders. I had a lot of players with me, man. It was good, though. It was a good, you know, I enjoyed my junior year was tough. We had the best schedule in the nation, out of conference schedule. I played against C.J. McCullough, Montrez, Vincent Council, Deontay Henderson. We played against a lot of people. Bryce Cotton,
Bryce Cotton he's from Providence.
Yeah, Bryce Cotton was in Providence. Yeah, we played against Providence. Man. That was my first game ever of college. Like D1, I had 14-6. We had five players play Providence, boy.
Yeah, bro, you were different, bro. Those Fairley Dickinson days, bro. I saw the highlights. I mean, I read about you. You really, like, for someone that didn't play that much, for you to go D1 and do what you did, like, it just makes your story that much incredible, bro. That's amazing.
You know, a lot of people didn't know, like, my senior season, I had a broken finger and I broke my toe, my third metatarsal. So I was in a boot for most of the year. A lot of people don't know that. I would play and then go right back in the boot. You know, so it's like, I went through a lot in college, bro. I learned how to be like a man in the sport.
Yeah, bro. Now, I hear that for sure. That's definitely, basketball definitely does that to you, bro. Especially looking at the stuff that you've been through, I can tell you, like, basketball definitely helped you grow for sure. That last year at Fairley Dickinson, is there anything that happened that year that you want us to know about? How were you feeling once the season was over, fill us in?
I mean, I was working out with Chris Brickley. Like, Brickley was my coach. So Brickley had me in the gym. I was working out with Brick. And my coach, you know, LeVon Francis, BK Stompers, he always was in talking to me, letting me know what I could do. So I give a lot of praise to Rons. I shout out to Rons because without Rons, I wouldn't be known in the street ball. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of things Rons is helping me in the off season. So, you know, and I wanted to make that push to go overseas, you know. I tried out for Boston. It was okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I tried out for a couple of teams. But, yeah, the shoes, like Greg Patron had told me, like, I got a couple agent offers. I'm like, okay, yeah. After VCU, I played VCU. I think I had 30 and 15. I missed like two shots. And then the next day, we played Longwood, and I went and got 34 and 17 and missed one shot. I got each day of the month before we went into the new year. I remember that. So, you know, like, I give a lot of praise to God, man. I give all my praises to God because I don't shoot jump shots, bro. That's one thing about my game. You see, like, college, I probably shot 60 jump shots, bro. I don't shoot jump shots, so.
Yeah.
I really respect the game, and I really am a student of the game.
Yeah, you're. I see the way you play. You're a vintage big where you just, I mean, just chairman on the boards. You sit there, and you just patiently wait to see what you can do and try to operate. You don't really try to pop out and shoot threes like the bigs do now, and I respect that a lot. I respect that a lot. I don't really want to see my bigs shooting threes. I'd rather them just sort of sit in the paint and do everything that needs to be done. Feel me?
Yeah. No, so I feel like it's a lost art. Like I said, you know, Dennis Rodman is one of my favorite players. And that art of basketball is just gone, you know. So I just try to do what my team needs me to win, man. But I know how to play the game. I love the game. I know how to play it, though. You know what I mean? I'm not just going to say it's all heart and muscle. It's common sense, too. It's a lot of mental towards this game. So
yeah, definitely. Your mental definitely has to be right to hoop. If your mental is not right, forget about it. Your mental always has to be there. So now we're gonna talk about overseas. Then we're gonna talk about New York City, man. We're gonna talk about some of these street ball leagues, and then we're gonna. I got a question. I got a player that I want to talk to you about. I want to see how you would handle the situation. And it's a big time topic right now. But let's get right into overseas, man. Tell us everything, man. Your first year overseas. How you felt about it. Just tell us everything about playing basketball overseas, which is something that a lot of players are trying to get to.
I mean, my first year overseas, I ended up in Irish League Water, which is in Holland, a.k.a. Amsterdam. So, You know, for me, it was just like reality. Like, I'm 7 hours ahead of people. Like, it's just a different time. I'm in a different part of the world. Driving was different, like. You have to really be mature on, you know, managing your money. Like, there's just a lot. Like, it was an experience. And for you to go over there, you got to just be mentally ready. Like, you know, like, you got to be ready. You got to be ready to play with players, a style of basketball you never played before. You know? It's like, it's very organized. It's not out of control. And you get to meet a lot of people over there, man. A lot of different characteristics that you're not used to playing with. So, you got to put all of that into effect. So me over there, you got to be 100% mentally ready for that. You know?
Definitely have to be mentally ready for that. Did you ever get into any scuffles with any of the players?
As far as overseas?
Yeah.
Probably when I was in Switzerland. I got into a real bad accident in Switzerland. He threw the ball at me. I threw the ball back. We both got ejected. It wasn't nothing serious, though. It wasn't no scuffle, hands on, nothing like that, but cost me some chicken, man.
Mm-hmm.
Cost me some money, man. But it wasn't like I got out of control. My coach fully understood what was going on, you know. So
definitely. So what was the most favorite place you played at overseas?
I like England. England was straight for me, but I would say Lithuania, because I won a championship in Lithuania.
Okay.
But the Lithuania taught me that, like, to appreciate life. You know, when you go to certain countries and realize how they got their independence, and, you know, because 4th of July for us is like a party. We barbecue and all that.
Yeah.
Other
yeah.
countries get Independence Day. Is like Lithuania has one of the most memorial, like, Independence Day for me that I always remember until it's over. Like, they read the name of the people who went out to fight, and it lasts all day, bro. And it's just names of people that died and for their country, you know, just for Lithuania to be it. This is a place where potatoes cost 10 cents. Like, you eat a great meal for like $3, bro. So I appreciate that a lot, man. It's like, it humbles you, you know? Like, you come back here to the hood and you be like, damn, I hate living. And for me, it's like, nah, like, I've seen so much, you know? Like, it's just a humbling experience, man. You get to go over there and just appreciate it. You know, things I think I could have did a little more, like been a little, I think I could have been a little more different, certain people, certain way I handled certain situations. But like I said, I'm not going to fault nobody, but I wasn't seasoned like everybody. I wasn't in the limelight of knowing basketball. You know what I'm saying? It's all off of just me doing it, you know?
Definitely. Yeah, there's certain places, man. Like, it's crazy because even like, you think about it, there's players that go to Iraq, there's players that go everywhere, and it's just like, how are you guys surviving? Because it's like, and also, it's tough being an American, being in these places, because they have something, a lot of those countries have something against us. Like you said, England, not really, because we're so much similar to them, but there's so many countries, like, they see an American, especially an American, like, playing a sport, and they instantly, like, get triggered. So, like, I have so much love for you guys that have been overseas for so long, because it's really not easy to do it all, for real.
Yeah, 100% about that. It's definitely not, you know, so.
Yeah, bro, that's big. Now let's talk about New York City, man. Let's talk about the Dykemans, the Hoops in the Sun. I mean, let's talk about our home state. Which place, which tournament is the most favorite tournament that which tournament do you like the most? And give me your toughest matchup, the best player you played in NYC streetball on the NYC streetball circuit.
Yeah, I will give credit to, I'm not going to lie, the best tournament. I mean, I come from Dunkers Delight, so that would be my favorite tournament. But realistically, I would give it to, like, Gersh Park, you know, Dykeman. I give credit to all of you, you know, all of you. Like, if I was to say Hoops in the Sun, my toughest matchup would have been Mike Glover when I was first coming up. Like Hardy and them guys. Mike Glover was a good matchup. We played against each other. But my toughest matchup in the New York State basketball has always been Big Baby.
Talking about Glenn?
Kayvon.
Okay, Vaughn, okay.
That's the big, you know, Happy Feet. That's my boy. That's the big bro. You know what I mean? That's like the hardest matchup to me. Him, Big DP, you know, that's a lot. T2,
yeah.
It's a lot. I give credit to a lot of guys, you know what I mean? Like, I respect a lot of guys.
Yeah,
my,
bro.
Yeah, you know, my hardest matchup, yeah, like I was Javon Pinkston. Because that's really my, like, close to my, one of my best friends. So growing up, I was always compared, like, he was better than me. Like, there's a lot of things I used to compare us for, and I used to always understand, like, we're two different type of players. You know? That's how when I got to play with Javon, it was like, oh, yeah, we was crushing the city.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, that's a lot of solid players you just mentioned for sure. Happy Feet, definitely tough. Yeah, that was a lot of good players. So you said Gersh, you said Dykeman. You ever win a chip in Dykeman or Gersh?
No. Nope.
Mm-hmm.
You do one, no, sir.
Dang. How far you getting Dykeman?
I made Dykeman, like, to the semis, you know, like, semifinals. I like Dykeman, but it's not, in my opinion, it's like, it gets too hectic on the court sometimes, so, you know, I'm like.
I hear that, bro. Yeah, it definitely does get hectic. Dykeman gets real wild sometimes, man. Dykeman gets real wild, bro.
Shout out to Kenny Stevens and them. It's a great place, man, you know. I enjoyed it growing up there from 17 to 30 was a, that's a streak, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was going to get wild, so. Yeah, you know, I like Dykeman. Gersh is just tough. I haven't been able to win Gersh. You know, I was in the championship twice in Gersh. I haven't won Gersh. I think I'm the only player ever in Gersh to get the MVP, share MVP, and the chip and lose it. So it's like.
But I mean, we got one more summer left, he says. So we gonna see what we could do. I mean, hopefully you can go out with a bang next summer and pull something out. You feel me?
Yeah, I'm gonna try to. I'm definitely. He's a great scout. I'm definitely gonna do it, man.
See what happens with that. Last question for NYC Hoops. Did you, like, I know a lot of famous people go to Dykeman in these tournaments. Has there ever been any, like, famous players that, like, came up to you and spoke to you? Like, not famous players, like famous, yeah, either famous players or, like, famous people, famous celebrities, because a lot of those guys, they go there. Has anyone, like, came up to you and said anything, gave you any advice?
I mean, yeah, like, you know, like I said, you know, Melo, I'm cool with Melo. I respect Carmelo a lot. I spoke to him. I mean, I was playing for French Montana, you know, so it's like, I would probably say, you know, like, 2 Chainz is probably the only person who ever came up to me and told me something as far as basketball, like, celebrity-wise. That's the tournament in Miami. But, you know, it's usually all love. I put my hardest out there, you know. That's about it.
Definitely. Yeah, man. You're decorated, man. That's why I wanted to do this interview, man. You are decorated, and you're definitely someone that the younger kids can look up to. Because just like you said, man, the art of basketball is all messed up. Everything's looking messy. So I told myself, like, yo, Keanu really been through it, man. He been in a couple eras and earlier eras too. So, I mean, interviewing him is definitely gonna open the eyes of a lot of people. You know what I'm saying? Because you've been there when it was rough, when basketball was really like basketball. Like, these days, it's still basketball, but it's a lot watered down. So, obviously, you know, I appreciate you for coming up. Now, this is the last question. This is the NBA question. Ben Simmons. I had to ask you about this, man. And I don't usually ask NBA questions, but it's like, bro, this is so relevant, and it's like, I just want to pick your brain with this. So how do you feel about the whole Ben Simmons situation from the playoff game that he screwed up at to him not going to training camp?
I think Ben Simmons is tough. You know, 6'11" point guard. You know, I just think he's underappreciated. You know, they want him to do a jump shot, but it's like he knows basketball. His IQ for basketball is very good. Like, a lot of people misjudge the situation. You know, like, he's not comes from a wealthy family. He's not money hungry. You know what I'm saying? He just wants to win. He's a competitor. You know, like, but I just felt like a lot of people overlooking the situation. Like, oh, he's a bum and all that. But it's like, who's a bum in the NBA? You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
It's not
right.
It's not an average place. So it's like, I just feel like going. He's tired of Philadelphia. I don't think he wants to be there no more. Like, but I feel he has to own up to his game. That's why you're looking now. He's shooting a lot of jump shots. He's doing a lot of workouts, shooting threes. He's not looking rusty. You know, he's dominating the workouts. So
he's always dominating in the workouts. Though we got to see that. We got to see that in those regular season games. But
yeah,
you brought up a good
point. He dominates in the league too, though. Think about it. He dominated just the playoff. He didn't show up, but
yeah.
Joel got hurt, so you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. No, I feel you. I feel you, bro. Like, in the games, like you said, he's not too much of a jump shooter in the game, so, like, he's a special talent. Like,
mm-hmm.
He's definitely special talent. You brought up a good point about, oh, now he's a bum, blah, 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 but you know how this generation is. Once you can have a million good games. You can have, like, 100 good games, but the second you have a bad game, a lot of people going to turn on you. Like, you know what I'm saying? And that's what's happening to Ben. You know what I'm saying? Like, the whole world turned on him after how he played. But, I mean, it's not fair to say that he's not a bum. He's definitely a special talent. You know what I'm saying? He just had a really bad series. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that happens to the best of us, you know. Shout out to Paul George up, playoff P. You know, so it was like, it's just, like you said, it's the critics, man. But if you look at basketball and you know basketball, you know, like, all right, Ben is tired of being there, but he got to step up.
Yeah, definitely. So you would have. What would you what, like business wise? What would you have done regarding training camp? You would have went to training camp.
I'm finding Ben.
You're finding Ben.
I mean, your pockets, Ben. Too. You ain't that good that you missing training camp. You ain't got no rings. Come on.
Yeah.
You just started making an All-Star game, yeah, Ben. Let me see that pay stub. Let me see that pay stub.
You would have just went to training camp and let's put Ben Simmons' brain in Keanu's head. Ben Simmons hates everybody. So you would have just went to training camp and you just would have played and not spoken to anybody, or like how
you
mentally
you
hate everybody. How would you have done it?
You get millions of dollars. I did what Jimmy Butler did. Jimmy Butler is going to practice, you know.
Yeah.
Calling people out. Take credit when credit is due. Take fault when fault is due. You know.
Yeah.
You said these guys are getting millions of dollars, man. Ben should have went. Ben, you need work. Ben needs work. So I think Ben should be in practice, but he don't want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably spoken to his agent. His agent probably advised him that he doesn't have to be there, you know?
Definitely. Wow. Yo, thanks for your opinion on that Ben Simmons situation. And, bro, thank you for popping up on the show, bro. You don't understand how much I appreciate you, bro. You've been through so much, bro. And I don't know if you hear it enough, bro, but, bro, you different, bro. Like, you really different. You've done so much from Fairleigh Dickinson to overseas. You've been overseas for so many years, bro. And it's like a lot of people don't make it overseas as long as you have, bro. Like, New York is proud of you, bro. I don't know if we proud of you for real, man. We proud of you, bro.
I'm thankful for New York, you know. Like, I go to a lot of these places and I get my flowers. I'm thankful for that, man. Like, that's why I say when I step away from the game, man, it's like it was never underappreciated. I felt like I went out there and gave it my all. Like,
uh-huh.
I never disrespected nobody else, you know. Like, I could say I would hope in most people's eyes, you know, that, damn, dude was tough. And I wasn't, you know, I want to go down as one of the greatest in New York City, you know. I feel like I'm one of the greatest passers as a big man, you know. Like, I play,
uh-huh.
You know, I feel like I got a lot about me. You know, I've led the. You know, I was happy this year to get co-defensive player of the year because I worked on that.
Yeah.
I trained. It's like, you know, I trained this year to be a defensive player, and it showed. You know, so that's like I see like, you know, the work is in the proof is in the pudding.
Definitely, bro. We've seen it, bro. With the games, because I mean, obviously during quarantine, mm-hmm. I was watching a lot of those streetball games. And I seen it, bro. Just out there, just putting in work, out there killing, bro. Not even, I mean, not giving a damn, bro. I mean, that chairman of the board stamp. I'm telling people that Keanu, bro, with that chairman of the board stamp, we're not just calling him chairman of the boards. Like, Keanu don't play, bro. Like, I'm trying to let these niggas know, bro. Like, Keanu don't play when it comes to that shit, bro. He doesn't.
I respect people come to watch him, so I like to give him my heart. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
You know, I like to give him my all for them. Cause, like I said, you could be doing so much else. You need your family, you need your girl, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Go to the game, and I respect that. You know what I mean? Like, I respect it, man. And that's one thing about me. I'm a lot of people say I'm crazy because of the way I play, but it's a game that I love, and you know, it comes a point when all ball players know that ball gonna stop bouncing. You know what I'm saying? And,
it will. Yeah.
And I just want to know. I want Spalding to know. You know, you held me down for life. You told me a lot about life. Life is about a bounce. You know what I mean? Might go with you, it might not. It's how you rebound, how you get back. Life is a real basketball game you play. You got to be on the defense at all times, look both ways, you know what I mean? You got to understand it. But one thing, like you say, one thing about this basketball world, I respect everybody for that. I respect a lot, but I respect you for even reaching out to me because, like I said, I don't, you know what I mean? I don't take this for granted. You know what I'm saying? Like, I appreciate this interview, and, you know, I appreciate that you reached out to me.
But definitely. Definitely, bro.
I just even feel like that. Sometimes, you know what I mean? Like, I really hate that this part of the game about me is, like, people don't – I was discredited, you know what I'm saying? Like, that we don't help each other a lot. There's a lot of times I feel she get an opportunity, man. It's, you know, it's not about the money sometimes. It's about going to see it. Like, you find your peace. And I felt that's why I found King of Rock when I went up to see it. You know, I'm like – find out who I am as a man, as a person. Because
mm-hmm.
I feel like when you go overseas, it's basically solitary confinement. A lot of people don't know that. You by yourself, 9 months in a place where you don't speak your language, so you got to really get in tune with yourself.
Yeah.
And if you don't know yourself, of course you're going to go crazy because you don't know yourself. But if you start to know yourself, you start to realize, like, characteristics, you start to learn the game. That's what I always say, you're a student of the game because you can never stop learning, you know. But I just always ask myself, like, why I was never getting a certain amount, you know. When I can go play with another person who get 30 points and I don't need the ball. I'll go rebound, you know. And that's like, I always ask about that. Like, I don't know who I could ask, but I just be thinking about it. Like, not to discredit me, but like, why I'm home. You know what I'm saying? Like, why I'm home out of all people. Like,
yeah.
I give it my all for these teams, so, you know. But I come to realize and I live by it. What's misunderstood got to be explained. So.
Definitely, bro. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm gonna keep in touch, and you know, I mean, I hopefully get to see you back over there, man, for real. And I'm definitely gonna tune into those games. You're gonna send me a link, and I'm definitely gonna watch, man. I'm gonna watch as much as I can, and then summer, same thing. See what's up before you take that final bow and get out the game, man. I'm definitely gonna be tuned in, and I mean, I just hope, like, with your family and everything, I just hope everything continues to move in a positive direction. You feel me?
That's all we can do, bro. You know what I mean? Shit. And been through hell. What's worse? You know what I mean? I've been through hell, so can't get worse.
I hear you, bro. One day at a time, bro. But, yeah, bro, thank you so much once again, bro. This is D&K in the lab signing out. Keanu Rochford. And this episode going to be up real soon. It's going to be up either by the end of the week or next week. So everyone that gets to tune into this, I hope you enjoy it, man. You learn from a real vet. For real.
That's right. Thank you for having me, Dirk.
Anytime, bro. I'm going to text you in a bit, my guy.
All right. Have a good one, my guy.
You too, bro.